Hey guys, welcome to episode 46 of Inside the Cage. Scott and Mark with you, reliable as ever. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. How's yourself?
Good.
Good weekend. You've been away a while, haven't you? That week,
kind of. I was away for a few days, mate. Just me and the good lady. So it was nice. Nice to get away and away from everything. Turn my phone off for a couple of days and just.
Nothing better than just turning your phone off and just getting away for everything.
First lodge at the hot tub. It was great, man. We bought a Sauvignon Blanc and a hot tub, mate. It was absolutely.
You can't even get a hot tub.
It was absolutely magic. Although it makes me really, really sick. For some reason.
But, sick.
Yeah, it makes me feel really, really, really sick. It happened last.
Did you get seasick at him? You going a ferry?
Well, a wee bit, but that's more about motion. That's not really supposed to be the water.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? So it's weird. Like when we were away at Balmaha last year, there was a hot tub, and I was in it twice, and both times coming out, I had to sit and drink water for about an hour just to calm myself down. It was weird, man.
That's weird, man.
But I do enjoy it, so I'll just put myself through it. Do you know what I mean? So,
do it.
Okay, but yeah, how about you? Do you have a good week walking?
Oh, I agree, fun, mate. That's like tremendous.
What about your weekend? You doing?
Nah, quiet. Honestly, quiet. The only thing I done at the weekend was football, and by the way, that was a shambles. So.
Well.
Aye.
A good game though, I heard.
No, it was a good game until.
Pretty neutral.
Until. I will never listen to this, right? Dallas, you're a prick.
Who's Dallas?
Dallas, what's his face? The referee.
And who's Dallas?
I'll have tried. What a prick. What a apparently, ball like that boy is.
Apparently, did you just get a penalty? Or did he get a penalty?
No, we got a penalty.
Apparently, your penalty was never a penalty.
He made the most of it, shall we say.
So it wasn't a penalty?
No, there was a push on the back, but he probably went over easier than he should have done.
Big Chris Dillon scored as well.
He's not very big, but I will go with that. But the fact that he sent off two of our players, first one, probably yellow for me. I would say it was a foul, it was a yellow card, and it ruined the game after that.
Because
we were down to 10 men, basically, we were 2-1 up, we were just kind of sitting back for the next, basically. Because it was like 40 minutes, it was like 35 minutes in the game. So we'd basically an hour to play with 10 men.
That's what happens when you get a guy sent off.
Then in about 10 minutes into the second half, Banning gets sent off for a Stonewall red card, most Stonewall red card I've ever seen in my life. Well, he basically booted the boy in the chest. It was like assault, by the way.
So to beat 3-2 with two men for half an hour, well, with two men sent off for half an hour, that's not bad. Against a team that's good like here. So, I mean, you guys are struggling.
But some of the decisions, they just. Oh, that. One of the worst refereeing performances I've ever seen in my life. And I've watched Match of the Day this weekend.
Oh, we'll talk about that.
But luckily, this would be a football podcast because I think we'd be here for about 40 days.
I'd love to know your opinions on yesterday's game, but I guess we can maybe talk about that off pod. But, I mean.
What the old film?
Well, just the only two things I want to talk about. Jordan Jones.
What a prick.
Absolute Stonewall red card.
Aye, 100%.
Right, but that tackle was exactly the same tackle that Callum McGregor did in the first half. And Callum McGregor didn't get booked. So it's kind of strange.
I think it was the ferocity and the pressure that he put on the tackle, if you
granted,
know what I mean.
Granted, yeah, I can totally understand that. It didn't look like there was a genuine attempt as McGregor's did, but it was exactly the same tackle. You watched the tournament where
he
slid in.
Attempt to the ball.
Well, you could say
you see, I was carrying a knife down the street and I didn't mean to stab somebody. But I did. Like, if I'm walking down the street and I stab somebody, it's totally different from me walking down the street with a knife in my hand.
You're still
not trying to stab somebody. Yeah, it's totally different.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a weird one, but I don't really care. Our team got humped on Saturday.
What was the other thing you were saying? What was the other one you went to? Do you 2 points, sir?
No, it was about McGregor and Jones.
All right, I just did that.
The only other thing is the delusions of grandeur from both sides, man. It's just unreal. Like people, I've literally seen people say that that was Celtic at their very best and they absolutely were amazing.
I don't think Celtic were that great.
Celtic were not good, man. And Rangers were not good either. Rangers had a lot of the ball and did absolutely nothing with it. Celtic had very little, or littler ball, should we say, and did more with it.
Big statement for me, the Old Firm game's basically decided where the title goes. And that game straight away, maybe there was me that I'd be very surprised if Rangers go to Parkhead and win again.
Yeah, I can't see it.
So I think they'll have won the league based on that game.
Totally agree, mate. 100%. I totally agree. I think first the Old Firm games are always good. People say, oh, it's not over yet and there's loads of time. Granted, but
it's not as if Celtic are still in the Europa League and Rangers aren't in it.
Yeah.
And then maybe that would suffer. But both teams are in the Europa League as well, so.
I was at some part last weekend. Rangers were terrible against us. It took them a moment of genius to beat us. You know what I mean? A team of Simon's calibre. Against
I watched a bit
Legia.
Of
they were crap against Legia
so
twice.
Poor at times to get the if somebody sits in against Rangers, they can't break them down.
Yeah.
So poor at times.
But anyway
this is MMA, no football. We should do a football podcast.
I'd love to
do a football podcast.
Anyway, moving
on. Time,
we've got too much to talk about.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
Last week's show was a wee bit short. Couple of reasons for that. Main reason was that it was just a short show, really. There wasn't really much to talk about.
It didn't help, it was before a card.
Yeah.
I had to date on a Saturday afternoon because of various reasons, so we
kind of like miss some stuff out, but you know, we're going to do a wee bit of a look back at the Bellator.
A couple of things back to last week's Bellator card we're going to just
but we're going to look at Shenzhen first.
Yeah, we'll go straight into Shenzhen. We'll go straight into the first Asian UFC champion. And this is absolutely massive. This is huge.
You know, it's funny, right? That is the truest statement you could ever have said in your whole life. But here's the thing. This is much bigger for MMA, UFC, and Chinese sport than it is for her. And I think that's really shitty. And it's no disrespect to her, not to you. I love Wei Li Zhang. She has been brilliant ever since I've seen her fight the first time. She smashed Andrade. She deserved it.
She deserved a champion.
But this is so much bigger than her. And that's so disappointing for her. I think it's for UFC to have a Western company, right? A Western based company to have a Chinese champion in a sport that doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't.
It's never existed. Other than the big boy who played basketball.
Do you want to know something? This is one of the worst things to happen to one championship.
Oh, killer, man. It's killer.
I don't think it'll not damage one championship. I just think a lot of people will now have two organisations. Like, one championship, mm-hmm. if you go on followers, viewers, eyes that watch that sport, one championship is the biggest MMA production in the world.
Oh, because it's...
Because it's Asian market.
The whole Asian market.
Half the world's in Asia.
Yeah.
So straight away, they've got the biggest population of people who watch that sport, have watched that promotion. So UFC have now got a champion, an Asian champion. So see, at the start of next year, there will be a pay-per-view held in Asia, in China. Probably in Singapore, I would imagine. Not Singapore, Shanghai.
Right, I was going to say they definitely won't do it.
I meant Shanghai, not Singapore.
Well, there's talk of 250 being in. I heard rumours that 250 is to be in Japan.
Right.
But that's just people speculating. I mean, it could be in Glasgow for all we know. So, I mean, it could be anywhere, but.
It's going to happen because the UFC is such a big market in Asia that they've got to tap into it and they really have got to get in there. And to have a champion and a female champion at that, Asia's. I'm not saying Asia's a weird part of the world. Like, a lot of parts of Asia are very kind of men over women type thing. That kind of, you know what I'm coming at?
A bit like the Middle East as well.
Yeah, that type of thing. So to have a female Asian champion is just incredible. And it's UFC is going to take off weirdly in Asia. You wouldn't have to think you'd have to say that the UFC is going to get bigger, but it is going to get bigger now.
It is, mate. Like, it's always been quite big in places like Korea and things like that. Not so big in Japan, not a lot of Japanese fighters fight.
They've got Rising and stuff, and they've got their own promotions.
Aye, and what's that other one called? Pancras?
Yeah, they've got Pancras as well. They do it a different kind of way.
This is the one thing that upsets me about this, because I love Wei Li Zhang and she should take all the credit for this, but this is just so much bigger than she is, and that's such a shame.
So much bigger.
It's so much bigger. It's literally just all about Chinese sport in general. In fact, you know what? I even said in a tweet, it's like good for China. Like, although people.
Put it this way. Take the Olympics out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
She's the biggest Chinese sports star ever.
She's the biggest, well, maybe not. I mean, the big boy who played the basketball.
Apart from the big guy, big guy, thingy, what's his face?
I know you're talking about, but it was something amazing, mate. And not another thing that, not remotely surprising to me, she is terrifying. She is a monster. Is.
I picked Andrade my predictions, and I done it, and I put it online, and I went, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. Why did I do that?
Yep.
Like, Zhang was obviously going to win this fight.
I don't know if there was any obviously about it.
I think it was set up for her to win it. I'm not saying that.
I would have agreed. I would agree that the fact
I think
was,
everything was in Zhang's favour to go win that fight.
Oh, because Andrade got lucky against Naoma Yunus. And Andrade's record isn't great. I mean, it's all right. But she won the belt off Naoma Yunus probably at the right time for Naoma Yunus. Even Naoma Yunus said after, you know, she was struggling with it. So it's the strawweight belt, I think it's now got a dominant champion. I can't see anybody taking it off her. Done a poll on our Twitter and 63% of people said it should be Naoma Yunus next, but I think it will be Suarez, but I want it to be Jacek. But the only problem with that is Jacek needs to beat
Watson.
The kickboxing between Wei Li Zhang and Joanna Jacek would be fucking insane.
Pay-per-view in China, I think that's what will happen. I can see that. You imagine the pay-per-views that they're going to make off in China.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it spells money.
It just makes money.
UFC, money. That's what UFC is all about. It's all about making as much money as possible. Do you know what I mean? So it's one of these things that's going to happen. I think that's the way to go, I think, looking at Tatiana. Probably I'll end up Tatiana versus Jacek. I think you should make that fight. I think you should make that fight happen.
I don't know, man. Like, everybody always... Like, I love Joanna. I love Jacek. She's one of my favourites. Like, she genuinely is. But she... People like sleep on Morrison, and I don't understand. Like, she's dangerous. She's not, I mean, she's okay. She's not set the feather, the heather alight, but she's dangerous, you know. But, I don't know, weird one. Don't know. We'll see.
A great fight, whoever she fights. I think about absolutely brilliant. She was so superb in the night to finish a champion. It doesn't matter who that champion is, how that champion got their belt. To finish it in 42 seconds is just scary. It really is scary.
It was crazy, man. It was crazy. I just love the fact that this is such a big deal. I was trying to explain it to Gemma. I was like, I love when massive things happen, even if it's not something I'm particularly happy about. Like, okay, I was happy with this because I picked Zhang. I thought Zhang was going to win. But for example, if McGregor was to come back and win the lightweight belt after two fights, that would be huge. It'd be talking point. It would be something that would be massive. I love when something massive happens, because when you can get passionate about it and you can talk... This was huge, man. Not that it was a surprise. Like, I picked her, and I, to be honest, did think she'd win. I didn't think she'd win like that and that quickly. But I did think she would win, and it's so huge, man. It's just massive. Dana White must literally be dreaming about money, because that's all that does for him is making money. Oh. All that does, as you say, pay-per-view in China. Imagine the pay-per-view buys. What's the record pay-per-view buys? 100 million or something?
I have no idea.
You're probably talking a hell of a lot more than that. Everybody in China. Then again, they'd have to sell Chinese TV rights. I don't know if they've got Chinese TV rights, because obviously American TV stuff.
I think if they didn't have them now, if they don't have them right now, they will have them.
I just forwarded one event. It's their contract. It's mental, man. Mental.
As I say, she's a superstar. A superstar in the making. She's brilliant. Fair player. And it's just brilliant to see.
So, next, I want to ask you what happened to your boy. This is one of your guys, man. This is one of the Mark Morrison Fight Club.
I was watching Zaleski, and I'm like, is that actually you? What's going on here? It just looked lethargic, and any time he tried to fling a punch, and any time he couldn't connect with him, nothing was happening for him. He was getting nowhere. Fair play, Zingham is really, really good at times. But I don't think he had to be brilliant, if you know what I mean.
How had you scored that at that point? With 9 seconds to go?
I think I had 2-1.
Yeah, me too.
I think I had 2-1 Zhang.
I had Jing Liang up 2-1, yeah, no problem. I was weird, because like, Zaleski didn't look dangerous to me, right, but he still won a round, but Jing Liang looked vicious, man.
It was as though every time he threw something, it was causing damage. He couldn't deal with that straight right down the middle. He just could not deal with it straight Zaleski.
I was going to say, it wasn't even as if everything he threw, see, every time he stepped forward, he looked dangerous. Before he'd even flung anything, every time he took that step with his left foot, I was going, fuck, what's happening now? It honestly felt like every single time he moved, he hurt Zaleski.
Massive.
He's huge, isn't he, man?
He's a featherweight.
He's something else, man. He's something else. I was really, really impressed by him again.
I was very impressed.
It'll be interesting to see where he goes next, because he'll now be ranked. So.
Oh, he's in that rank, isn't he? He's another one that will go again. They'll set him up. Pay-per-view in China. He's a superstar in China. You've seen the reaction the crowd were giving him after he is a superstar in China.
You've seen the performance bonuses he's had. In fact, five of his last six fights he's had a bonus. That's crazy, man.
Right.
The boy is not somebody to sleep on. Like, seriously, he's not.
Look, he's only lost one fight out of his last, what, eight?
Mm-hmm.
Jake Matthews, it's not exactly a great loss, is it, either? That's the thing.
No, but he's beaten names, though. There's names of Zach Otto, Frank Camacho, Dos Santos. You know, there are names that he's beaten.
Zawada's a decent fighter as well, so...
He's got a chance to go and, you know, fight again and fight somebody ranked, somebody higher up.
We said last week this was a dangerous fight for Zaleski to take. We said that. We said, why is he taking this fight? What is the reason for him taking this fight? Because he's basically fighting to lose his ranking when he should have been looking up the way. And what we said happened.
Exactly.
He lost the fight, and now he's lost his ranking, and now he's got to have a long way back to try and get into that rankings again.
Like, people will say, right, it isn't that bad. People will say... Oh, do you know what? It isn't that bad, really, if you think about it. he got beat, everybody gets beat, it goes aye, but think about it, he was on 7 fight win streak, the second joint longest in the world division. By the way, we were talking about him getting a title shot, he should be getting a title shot over Jorge Masvidal. He was also fighting an unranked guy. This was a massively dangerous fight for him, and to be honest, he didn't turn up. I would still say on paper, for me, Zaleski beats Jing Liang. On paper,
I would say so. I think Zaleski would get more weapons.
He's much more to his game. His arms are like tree trunks, man. He's ridiculous. Not that I'm saying he would win. I just think on paper, obviously, he didn't win, so obviously we're wrong. But
I think
just
that's
saying,
why he's fights, you're going to see it maybe in a couple of years' time.
A totally different fight.
Because I don't think Jing Liang's, it's not top 10 for me. He's a really good fighter. I think he could be one of these kind of gatekeepers for the top 50.
If he fights like that, he could be top 10. But I haven't seen him fight like that. I haven't seen him relentless pressure like that. That was relentless pressure. It's almost like he didn't give Zaleski a break, a chance to, you know, do anything. But yeah, a great performance with Jing Liang. Disappointing from Zaleski, man.
Very disappointing.
It was a strange one.
I was so, I don't want to say angry at the man, but I kind of was. I'm sitting there watching him going, mate, I've hyped you up and I've made you this and I've made you that, and you've just let me down, son. You just let me down.
What about
Kai Kara France, by the way? Mm-hmm. I love him, man. He's absolutely superb.
This was a good fight, though.
That was a really good Mark. Fair play to Mark De La Rosa. He tried his couple of takedowns in the first round and he went, okay, shit, this isn't going to work. I'm going to have to go somewhere else for this. And fair play to him. His striking looked really, really good and I was surprised.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you look at this and you go 32-37, okay, that could have been maybe a wee bit kind of one-sided, but it really, really wasn't, I didn't think.
No, it was one of these fights. I think we'll talk about the stats through the fight, and Mark De La Rosa was always throwing more punches, but when Kai Kara France was throwing his punches, they're more accurate, they're more damaging, they were just better punches.
For me, he won three rounds, right, definitely.
I thought he won
three. He did enough to win each round, but I wouldn't have said it was massively, like, they weren't far apart. Like, listen, had it been like a couple of punches less for Cara France and a couple of punches more than De La Rosa, De La Rosa might have won that three rounds. It was that close, but each round I would have said definitely Cara France. I would love to see them two fight again. Another couple of years, maybe get Mark De La Rosa another couple of wins, man, and see where it goes, because Kai Kara France is going nowhere but up for me. I mean,
he's looking at titles.
Mark De La Rosa's only 25, though, that's the thing, so he's still got loads of time. So is Kai. Kai's only 26. Well, to have 27 fights at 26 is absolutely mental, man.
That's the thing with Kai. That fight didn't really do anything for Kai either. We spoke about this as well last week, that he should be looking up the way.
Yeah, but it's only stopped fighting the UFC, right? Sure. The only reason he's ranked, to be fair,
it's because it's flyweight.
Exactly. So, no disrespect to Kai Kara France, but the flyweight rankings are absolutely shit beyond the top five. Maybe even say,
I'd say four.
Yeah, because Sergio Pettis, aye, probably not. So anything below that is kind of nonsense at the moment.
It's until just,
until the guys all fight each other and sort out. Not that I'm saying these guys don't deserve it. I'm not being disrespectful. What I'm saying is these guys are all just there because they're flyweights. So until they start fighting each other,
there's only like 18 signed fighters or something.
Exactly. Until they start fighting each other, we don't know where they are. Kai Kara France, they obviously fighting a guy who's 14th. It would prove to be right, but there's no reason why these two guys couldn't fight again in a couple of years. Mark De La Rosa, if he goes on and wins a couple of fights above him, he's right in the mix with Kai Kara France and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was really good. I really enjoyed that fight. Probably one of my favourites of the night, to be honest.
Disappointed, though. I think I was disappointed about was Kai Kara France was talking about he wanted a quick night so he could get on the Melbourne card. I think after that, I don't think he would in that Melbourne card.
Nah, it's too quick. 4 weeks.
It's too quick. But if he had a quick night, as he was talking about, that's what he wanted. He wanted to basically been out there in a couple of minutes and he wanted to go and spark Belarus out.
So he's lucky in that sense, because see, if you do things like that, they always say you never underestimate your opponents, never look ahead. Managers always say, you ask a manager on the Friday press conference before a Saturday game, oh, how are you looking for your Champions League game? And you go, I'm not thinking about the Champions League game. Never mind. So he's lucky, because if you look ahead, if you look past what's in front of you, if you look past, you know, Mark De La Rosa and look to the next thing.
I think he's got the mentality, but
just saying, that you're on the risk if you start playing that game too much. If he was playing that game against somebody higher up, might have, you know, capitalised on it. But it was a good fight, man. And it'd be interesting to see what happens now with that flyweights, because the flyweights is actually kind of exciting.
I'm actually quite interested. I heard Chael Sonnen basically tearing the flyweights apart, which I was getting quite excited about the flyweights.
I think the flyweight division as a whole is a lot of shape, because that wee FUD holds the belt. But the 15 underneath him, I think is something that he's excited about.
I would say there's 10 good fighters in there anyway, mate, a good division.
The best thing that could ever happen to this division is Benavidez beating him. That's the only thing that could keep this division alive, I think. I actually think they should just take the belt off him. I think they should be...
Well, he's fighting... Dana keeps saying he's fighting for the flyweight title next, so hopefully he loses it, and hopefully Benavidez just takes it, and maybe we can get a decent...
There's so many good fights there, man. There's so many... I mean, you had, look at Figueiredo Pantoja, right? Figueiredo Pantoja was ridiculous. Ridiculous, man. It was a stupidly good fight. Do you know what I mean?
Well, so the speed of the flyweights, it's the agility and the different bits and pieces they can do is totally different from anything else. I love watching it, to be fair. I really do love watching it.
Anything else on it? I mean, Song Kanan.
Good performance.
Should probably not have been a split decision. He probably... It's one of... A 29-28, he probably should have dominated that fight, but yeah, I took the foot off the gas a wee bit.
Well, Derek Cairns was set at the start of the second to get a takedown, he kind of kept him down, he kind of get back up again a bit. But fair play to two of them at the end of them, but absolutely shattered. They literally couldn't lift their arms to throw punches at each other.
Decent fight, but...
It was a decent fight. As I said, the two of them were absolutely fucked at the end of it. It was unbelievable with the fair play. They put everything into the first maybe two and a half rounds and just... It was funny, but then, to be honest, because the two of them were kind of starting to look at going, are you going to try and hit me? And he's like, no, I'm going to hit you and you're not going to hit me, so we're just starting to look at each other for 2 minutes.
It does more probably for Derek Cairns than it does Song Kanan, to be brutally honest with you, I would think. I think Derek Cairns' performance was decent. I don't think he was completely outmatched. Do you know, I think he was all right here.
He's okay. I don't think...
He's been beaten by Poirier. Just out of interest, because it obviously links on to later on. I was looking through Poirier's record and I was looking through some stuff and I seen Derek Grant's on the record. But what about Wu Yanan's missing weight defeat to Mizuki?
That's a weird fight, because I thought maybe Wu Yanan just won this fight for me.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I didn't. At the same time, I didn't want her to win the fight, so I was quite happy that she lost the fight. And I didn't know what to think. It was weird. And for a judge in China to give a fight to a Japanese fighter...
That was that close.
Against a Chinese fighter in China that was that close was just weird.
Yeah, it's kind of...
I didn't expect that. I thought, this has got to be tight, but I think Wu Yanan will probably get it just because it's in China. And Geneva, and I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? But Mizuki looks decent. She's actually a flyweight.
Is she?
Not a flyweight, a strawweight. Strawweight fighting the flyweight against Wu Yanan, and Yanan's looks like she's probably a bantamweight because she can't.
She's big.
She's huge because she also struggled to make the 125. So this is weird having a strawweight basically against a bantamweight, which this fight was. You're lucky if Mizuki was probably maybe 135 on the night. Whereas Yanan was probably maybe 145, maybe nearly 150. Do you know what I mean? She'd probably put a fair power of weight on after. So there's some difference in here, but no, it was a decent enough fight. Nothing sensational, but it was good.
Yeah, it was decent. I thought both of them looked good, to be fair. I think it was close. Like, definitely it was close. For me, I think Yanan just edged it.
No, that's what I thought. To be honest, so.
Yeah. What about the prelims? Anything worth mentioning on there?
Well, fight of the night was the second fight between Alateng and Batgirl. This was mental. This was brilliantly mental.
It's amazing how you can go for, you know, winning a round...
Then doing a 10-8, it was brilliant.
It was a great fight. It was brilliant.
It was a really good fight to watch. It deserved their fight in the night. Bonuses 100%. And Alateng looked brilliant, by the way. The two rounds that he did, one, he looked absolutely sensational. Ismagulov, he made Thiago Moises look very, very poor on the night. And I like Thiago Moises as well, but he made him look poor.
Ismagulov was some performance,
mate. Oh, it was brilliant. He just non-stop, absolutely sensational. Fair play to him. He done the business, get in there and got the job done. The Crane. Zhang against Ibrahimov. This was a submission from nowhere.
Yeah, I watched, obviously, when things are like on. I was also away the weekend, so I didn't see much of this, so I've watched it back on catch up. So when you're flicking through, and obviously I'm thinking, looking at the clock, going, right, I know this was a finish, right, in the third round at 2 minutes, and I'm sitting going,
1 minute,
10 seconds to go, like 1 minute 50, I'm like,
he's not doing anything himself.
The guy's got his back. He's face to the cage. Nothing's happening.
How's he finishing now?
And then 10 seconds later, the fight gets stopped. And I'm like, whoa, wait, what? It was mental.
It was a weird choke. It was
pure crazy.
I call it a ninja choke. I've never seen it before.
It's like an inverted guillotine or something, isn't it? It's weird. Like a backwards guillotine or something, they call it.
It was a weird, weird thing to watch. But as soon as he was in it, man, Ibrahimov was never getting out of it. It's poor play to Zhang. It was a brilliant, brilliant submission to get in.
Anthony Hernandez's... Anaconda was special.
Yeah, well, technique and all that involved in that was sensational, man.
Giving your leg mate and all that.
Nah, he was just tarting. Park was no chance. Absolutely tarting out like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the more famous fighters on the prelim cards was Sukumtath.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was horrific.
It wasn't great.
It was really, really bad. I don't know if it was because Medajai was that good.
Two wins in seven, man. He's going to get cut.
I think he's gone. I think Sukumtath is gone.
His record's 2-5 in the UFC.
It's really disappointing.
Well, he's a good fighter. Like, there's no doubt. He came to the UFC with 11-3 records. You know what I mean?
He was a good fighter, but he's can't do it in the UFC, and it's been proven.
He's won a belt at another promotion. That's no mug, you know what I mean? But he can't do it at this level. Montel Jackson beat him last time out. He's been beaten by Sean O'Malley.
Alejandro Perez, Alberto Morales. Do you know what I mean? He's just been... That's five losses. It's just... Nah, for me, I think that could be the last this year, Sukumtath. Because it wasn't just the fact that he was beaten and he's lost day five fights. I don't think he's looked good for a while. Do you know what I mean? So...
What about the bonuses?
Well, as I said earlier on, Teng and Batgirl 100% deserved their fight in the night bonus. Weili or Zhang, you can't really argue. And Zhang Liang, I don't think you can argue either. I think there was other really good performances on the night, but I think within the fights there was decent performances by the opposition fighters. So it's kind of...
Yeah.
Apart from maybe... You look at maybe... Osala Teng, but he's fighting in the bonus anyway. Medajirai maybe is the only other one who was superb on the night. Is Magulov as well. So maybe they could have got something, but I don't have any argument with Zhang and Jing Lang getting them.
They don't give up for that though.
No, they don't. We've had this discussion before, so.
Okay, mate. Only one other thing to do.
Aye. No done.
I get my belt back.
No done.
Well good. Done, I need a defender now because you keep telling me I'm Mario Champ or a defender. I won it twice. I'm a multiple Inside the Cage prediction champion, but never defended it, so that's my job. Mark Garnella spanking this week, troops. Overall, the whole of August, 31 out of 48 predictions right for me.
Yes. That's pretty good, man.
That's good. Well, it was helped by my very good Saturday and the two at the start, which I did pretty well on. And you get 24 out of 48, you get 50%.
We always say 50% is decent.
Less than 50 is shite, more than 50 is good, so 50 is all right. Decent. In the middle, decent. Acceptable.
Not happy.
No, you're raging.
I'm not happy, but I will take it.
Absolutely great. He's raging because he lost his title. But yes, I am now the reigning, can't say defending yet, the reigning current World Inside the Cage Predictions Champion.
Yes. I'll give you that one. Well done, son.
Thanks, mate. Okay, right, moving swiftly on. We look back
to 225, Bellator 225. Just a few things I wanted to mention because it feels like we cannot not mention them. We'll start off with basically the video that went viral running around the world. Aviv Ghazali, 15 seconds, submission finish. In fact, sorry, 11 seconds. I said 15, it was 11 seconds.
It was crazy, man.
It was mental. He literally came out, grabbed his leg, and broke his ankle. It was just ridiculous.
It was mental. I mean, he was fighting a guy who didn't have a great record, to be fair, right?
And it was still also... he'd do that against anyone.
Did you notice the weight?
165? I thought he was just like 165.
The catch weight.
It's a catch weight. I was going to say, I thought he was 155.
Mm-hmm. It's a catch weight.
It was mental. It was a mental finish. It was quite good, but I watched the 11 seconds on the Bellator app, and he showed you he was actually practicing this in the locker room before he came out. So it was obviously something he had in his mind. He had a game plan straight away. I'm going to go out and I'm going to have his foot.
See, doing stuff like that, though, you'll never do that once in your career. Never do that again.
No, I never do, because everybody's ready for it now.
Yeah. It's like better. It's like Masvidal against Askren.
Yeah. But you know, to make it even better, is this only boy that's like 18?
His dad still fights Haim.
Haim's still fighting. He's 18 or something like that. He's just, for a guy that young, it's just incredible. It's absolutely incredible. So fair play to him.
I was going to say Mr. Paige VanZant, but that does him a disservice because he should be famous on his own right, and he should be. As Austin Vanderford claimed, that, you know, this boy's a baller, man. This boy is some fighter.
Up to this point, this fight gets off. It was a really, really good fight up to this point. It was pretty close, actually. Joseph Clear looked decent, and it was really disappointing to see because it was two unbeaten fighters going against each other for the doctor to stop it. The correct decision, but I was disappointed it did get stopped. But no, Vanderford was really, really good again. during these two rounds.
Yep.
Ricky Bandejas, we said it again, we said it a couple of weeks back. Why he was doing this fart, I don't know. He was so much better than Matt Caratli.
Caratli.
He was just so much better. He should have been so much further of his card against such a better fighter. I don't understand why he was...
There were a couple of bad losses, though, so he's maybe just on the end of that.
Well, he's basically burnt himself back up again, yeah. But aye, he was just better. Just a really good performance for Ricky Bandejas. Other couple I want to mention, Nick Newell. Brilliant Nick Newell, fair play to you. That is a ridiculous choke to... You're never getting out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Never in a million years are you getting out of that choke. He absolutely done Corey Browning, and it was good to see, because...
I didn't see any of this, to be honest. I seen, obviously, Ghazali, I seen Bandejas' knockout, I just seen pictures of Austin Vanderford covered in blood. I really want to go watch Tyrrell Fortune. Well, man, he's obviously some sort of wrestling champion, heavyweight, that looks amazing.
I don't think I see that, it's probably one of the ones I've ever seen.
Amosov continued his dominant run.
He was brilliant again, he was just, he's a name, dangerous guy. I was at 175 as well, which is a bit strange.
Are we the type of organisation that talks about political statements?
Not overly. But we will mention Alejandro Lara, because I like the fact that a sports person maybe uses that platform to publicise things that aren't well reported in the media.
Yep.
So Fepo Arxov saw that stuff in the Amazon, Brazilian rainforest and all that. A lot has been burning down. And to be honest, nobody knew anything about it. It wasn't reported anywhere. Then obviously it did get reported, and obviously Alejandro Arias came out, made a big deal about it, stuff like that. And no, fair player, she's definitely kind of, but fair player for using that.
Definitely.
I like the statement she made, it was quite good. I'm a player calling this show, but I quite like that, it's quite good.
Anything else on that? Mitchell and Karatonov was horrendous.
It was just a waste of time. Minikov's knockout was brilliant against Tim Johnson, but...
He's a dangerous geezer, man.
Aye, isn't he, Hoffman? But aye, no, it was meh. It was Bellator. That's weird. That's what you can say about that card. It was Bellator.
Do you remember there was a good one where we were talking about
Bellator?
Although this weekend's card is fun.
Well, we're just having a wee chat about that. We'll re-link here.
So yeah, we're basically linking from Bellator to Bellator, but we're now moving from reviews to previews. And I look forward to possibly one of the busiest weekends we've had in a long time. There's a lot of stuff on this weekend. There's just to go through them. One, Invicta, LFA, UFC, Bellator. There's also a Cage Warrior snuck in there somewhere. It's crazy. If you're into your MMA and you've got a way to watch all of them, please do it. We unfortunately don't. We can't see things like LFA, and I don't even know if we can see. We can't see Invicta unless Invicta's on Fight Pass.
Invicta's on Fight Pass, I'm sure.
Jack, is Bellator on Virgin TV this weekend? So Sky Sport?
Yes.
Is it? Saturday night, you, but it's going to be amazing, man.
I know, but it's probably going to be stupid at 4 in the morning as usual.
No, go for a nap, it's cool. You've got a couch. Okay, Bader versus Congo. Discuss. He's defending his 265 belt. He had to defend it. Sheikh Congo was obviously pretty pissed off that he wasn't in the Grand Prix in the first place. So,
well, you can understand that. You look at his record and he's basically unbeaten since 2015.
He's also the only person to ever beat Vitaly Minnikov, who we were just talking about. So, yeah.
This is a dangerous fight for Bader.
Bader doesn't want to keep that belt, man. No chance.
I wouldn't surprise me if Bader lose this weekend. It really wouldn't surprise me. And again, Sheikh Congo, French fighter, is set up for Bellator to possibly go to France next year and hold a card.
Yeah. Or they'll probably want to do it before.
They'll want to do it before
the UFC.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And I think it'll be a perfect setup for them, because Bellator have got quite a few French fighters involved in it as well. So they'll want to do that. They'll want to get involved in the MMA scene in France. You know, they're making a big push in Europe now with their European cards. Making a massive push. I think they've got one in Milan coming up. Obviously, I think they've got 3 or 4 in the UK this year already. So they're making a massive push to get into European MMA, signing a lot of fighters for KSW and Cage Warriors and stuff like that. So I can see, I'm not saying it's set up for Congo to win and Bader's just going to fall over, because it looks like Bader's that type of guy that would just do that. But I set up
like that.
Basically.
There's 18 fights on this card.
You can't count Bellator as 18 fights, because what you'll find is, see, four of them, they actually put four of them on like after the main event.
They do like an after show for it's some reason.
Like that's weird.
It's like a post show.
Post show. They do a, they do like a, an early prelim, a prelim main card, then a post show card. I don't understand Bellator.
I presume that this isn't in the right order.
Oh no, we're not looking to apology for order because it doesn't make any sense.
Look, look at the very first fight. John McCapper.
Yeah. He's not gonna be the first fight.
Absolutely no chance. No. Can he be? If you look through this, I mean there's some good fights. Obviously there's a big portion of this we're going to talk about just now when I link into it, but Adam Piccolitti, quite like watching him. Decent fighter. Don't really know much about Jake Smith, right enough. A lot of guys with kind of small records. Gaston Balanos, he's something to watch. He's pretty good. He's from Peru. Again, exciting fighter.
We've seen him before, Gaston Balanos.
Yeah, we did. We reviewed him last time, I'm sure he fought.
He was pretty good.
But the big thing is the four featherweight fights.
Yeah, start the Grand Prix here.
There's actually five featherweight fights, but the Balanos-Carey one isn't part of the...
No, it's just a features fight. It's just a normal
fight. It's not part of the Grand Prix. So you've got Daniel Strauss versus Derek Campos, which is the co-main. Pat Curran versus Adam Boric. Cannot wait to see Adam Boric smack Pat Curran. Emmanuel Sanchez versus Tyron Claxton. That's a weird one because Emmanuel Sanchez is a ex-title challenger.
Experienced
guy against a guy, Tyron Claxton, who's shit hot to watch, man. And then
5-0 record. So.
Sam Cecilia versus Pedro Carvalho. Pedro Carvalho, again, a great record. Sam Cecilia, not so much.
Experienced fighter, but it's always good if you've got a positive record as such.
Definitely, mate. 100% is. This is going to be something else. I know we do Bellator maybe a wee bit of a disservice sometimes. Like, we just kind of roast
it. We don't roast it. We roast it because we don't think they make the most of what they've got.
Oh, they've got good fighters and they've got good platforms.
They've got a very good platform and they've got very good fighters, but I don't think they make the most of what they've got.
Yeah, 100% I agree with that, mate.
They could do so much better with the fighters that Bellator have got, and it's so it's disappointing because they don't do that.
Yeah.
Because we know how much better it could be.
But yeah, looking forward to the featherweight Grand Prix getting started. It'll be interesting to see how things look. Is there 8 fights or is there 4? I thought it was 16 guys.
That's 16, so 8 fights.
So 4 this week and then 4 next week.
4 this weekend, 4 next weekend.
I was going to say, because there's obviously, is this stupid, is this one of these stupid ones that they've done for like the Cage Warriors did, where the, no, not Cage Warriors, one championship where the title holder doesn't defend the belt, or is he involved in this?
No, he's involved in this, because remember,
Pitbull involved?
Pitbull's fighting
Archuleta.
Remember they said this is basically the title fight right after Batman.
I forgot about that, man. Oh my god.
I can't wait for that. A couple of weeks back. It's unbelievable.
That's me already looking forward to next week's show. Excellent. Okay, so that was a week and briefly went through it. There's some names on it, but a lot of people don't know much about, to be honest. There's a guy with 30 fights fighting the third fight. That's mental. That seems mental.
I wouldn't take the apology for.
I know.
You keep looking at the apology. I wouldn't take that for granted because the apology's weird.
The next thing to look at for this weekend is a kind of strange one that's kind of snuck under the radar a wee bit. Many people probably don't even know it's on. And it's a special, they call it Cage Warriors Unplugged. It's the second one they've done. It's something that's specific to BT, which is obviously a company in the UK, if you don't listen to us here. They've got TV and phones and shit here. There's no crowd.
Well, there is a crowd, but it's an invited crowd, so we
can find a small crowd, like 50 people or something.
Yeah, it'll be very, very small. It's basically, this is an event built for the television.
Yeah.
This is all about television. It's in BT's own studios.
Yep.
Host it in there, and they've got a wee, obviously this is the Bantamweight tournament they're holding here.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be really, really good to watch, to be honest. I think it's got, you're going to have 3 cracking fights coming out of this.
There's 7 fights announced on the card, but there's actually 8 fights because the winners are the 2 semi-finals fight again. It's a bit kind of like what PFL do with the playoffs. The finals.
Aye.
The semi-finals and the finals. The 4 guys fight the semi-finals and the guys fight again. There's 2 semi-finals, which is Josh Reed versus Marko Kovacevic, and then Scott Malone. One boom boom.
What's Scott with you, man?
Against Jack Cartwright. There's a alternative bout, which is Anton De Pape versus Tanio Pagliaricciuccio.
It's basically if either, maybe say, Josh Reed wins his fight against Kovacevic, but can't continue on in the final.
The winner of that would step in if they're able to.
If they're able to as well, that's the thing, isn't it? You feel like you look at this and it's just, There's actually the four guys with really, really good records, Josh. 9-3, Kofi Chase 11-2, Malone 6-2, Jack Cartwright 5-0 unbeaten. Even look at two guys who are on the alternative, 5-0, 9-3, man. It's just, it's a really, really good card. Just
six, good fight or something. Six of the best bantamweights in Europe, mate, fighting here.
Definitely.
And it's going to be something special. Obviously, we're massive fans of Scotty Malone. We were gutted for him when he fought Jack Shore. We both agreed that, you know, Jack Shore just had too much for him. He since went full time.
Hopefully we'll see the difference.
Hopefully we'll see, you know, Scott make adjustments and, you know, use the full time training to his advantage. I can see him winning it, of course I can, but there is definitely problems here. The boy's fighting's 5-0, he's undefeated. He's no mug. He's apparently these three of the four guys in the semifinals are ranked 10th, 12th, and 18th in the bantamweight unofficial rankings on Topology. So these are guys who are all similar. So he's got a tough fight to get past Jack Cartwright. And whoever he fights between Marco Kovacevic and Josh Reed is going to be a tough fight, like, no matter what. But
definitely, man. It's in for a tough night. And it's going to be a tough night. Because obviously the thing is with us, it's two rounds. Semi's two rounds.
Yeah, and a third round it's a draw.
If it's a draw, right. So you could fight three rounds and then have to go fight another three rounds in the final, which could be tough.
And if you're looking at Josh Reed and Marco Kovacevic, you're potentially getting an hour's break there.
Mm-hmm.
An hour and a half's break maximum. Do you know what I mean? That's not a lot. These guys fight at a high speed.
I was just going through Marko Kovacevic's record there, by the way. One, he's had two losses in his career.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, I've never heard of the guy, but the other one was to Natwood.
And his draw was to Morgan Charrier.
So
we know Morgan's a fair. So this could be a problem. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. See Josh Reed, by the way. Josh Reed is a good fighter too.
Oh, he's a good, very good fighter as well.
These are good guys. Though I think Scott Malone's got the thing in favour, obviously. He beat him in December.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously there is that. Josh Reed beat Anton DePep last time out. So there is some crossovers here, definitely. Possibly I would be most worried about Kovacevic. I think Kovacevic...
I was going to say, why didn't we have a prediction here, going right, which is a final?
The final is Malone, Kovacevic.
That's what I would say. I would agree with you 100%.
Kovacevic's nickname is Agent 47. That's like from the movie Hitman.
Obviously thinks he's a dangerous dude. He is a dangerous dude. You can tell that, man.
He's obviously had loads of good fighters, loads of good fights, man. That's the thing, and he obviously believes in himself. So I'm up for it, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Really, I like this as well, because obviously with these fights, they're right off the bat, straight into your face. I think Scott Malone might actually be the first fight on the card on the night.
I think maybe do the alternate first.
I'm not sure, but whatever it is. So you're basically going to get these fights straight off the bat. You're right in it. You're buzzing straight away. Absolutely buzzing. And you'll be two or three fights just to tide you along until you get really, really buzzed. It's a cracking way to do it. I can't wait to the final.
I'm not a lover of making the guys fight twice in one night, because then I think your final might be subpar.
Possibly.
There is that. So,
but I like it at the same time. I think it's got its advantages and disadvantages.
There's also an ex-UFC vet on here, Craig White, Thundercat.
Yeah, it's good to see Craig White back fighting, to be honest.
Well, he's fought in March and he beat.
It was only March.
So he's obviously struggling a wee bit.
Hopefully maybe get a better...
Maybe get a better lift with this one, who knows, but don't know much about the guys fighting right now. But yeah, that was just a wee kind of look at that, because it's not really a full card. It's kind of like a special kind of closed door, kind of intimate thing. So you'll get it on BT Sports.
It's on the Fight Pass as well. As I said, check it out. We've said this 100 times, it's Cage Warriors. You won't get a bad fight on this card.
Definitely not.
Because the guys are here to make a living. They're here to take that step. They're ready to go up the way. They want to make a move. So to make moves, they've got to be basically knocking people out and making people finishing people. So,
100%.
No, check it out. Definitely check it out if you're free on Friday night.
Okay. Can we talk about it now? I'm so buzzing.
What, my news?
You want to do your news first?
What the fuck? I was just trying to wind you up.
Oh man, I am so buzzing for this weekend. It's unbelievable, man. I'm so buzzing for this. We're going to have a serious problem. Big Mark has been the top guy that he is, has offered to pay for this. And we're going to go to his house and watch it. Hopefully have a few beers. I might need to drive, but we'll see.
I'll come pick you up and get a taxi for that, if you want.
Right, that's a good idea. But the only problem is, this starts at 3:00.
Yeah.
You're going to football?
No.
You're not going to football?
No, because it's in Montrose. So if I went to Montrose, but I'm going to get back till like 7:00 anyway. So.
And it'll be finished?
Well, no, the main card doesn't start at 7:00, but...
Right, so we're starting at 3:00 on Saturday?
Yeah, I may as well.
Right, I need to clear that with a good lady. Anyway, okay.
How have you got a lot of plans or something?
No, I just put a tell her. I mean, only tell her last minute that we were going to yours. And then
this has been planned for weeks.
I know, but you know what I might.
You're just a fanny, is that what you're saying?
Of course. So, I was trying to look through this today. It was really hard because there's a lot of fights on it and there's a lot of guys with a lot of good records. The guys with lots of big records, so it's hard to look through everything. Like, the first, barring the first fight, the second, the third, and the fourth fight, every single one of those guys is over 15 fights. One of the guys is at 29 fights. So it was hard. Literally, that looking at those three fights took me an hour today because I was just looking through it.
I'm trying to look at the fighters to see their records. And see
obviously, try and give our predictions to the listeners. That's kind of what we're here for. Start at the bottom. Don Madge, we watched him not long ago. Decent performance. He's fighting a guy who is on 2 weeks' notice, unfortunately, because Don was supposed to fight Magomed Mushtayefev. But that cancelled. I don't see much worrying Don Maggio.
No, you look at the first thing you do when you've never heard of a fight, you look at the promotions he's fought in, and that basically tells you everything. And I've never heard of half the promotions this guy's fought in.
I think I've heard of WWFC, but I've never heard of European beatdown.
No, I've heard of that fighting championship. It's maybe the only one I have heard of.
Listen, we don't want to do a disservice.
No, we're not trying to slag the guy.
This guy could be wrong. He's got a good record. You know, it could be a problem for Don Madge. He's only had two fights less than Don Madge, so they're probably similar levels. But I would imagine Don Madge being a wee bit of a UFC vet, as in having a fight first, I think I might just take him over the edge. So
Don Madge, as I said, looked decent in his last fight, so I imagine he's going to go and get a win here.
Yeah.
Just push on up.
Akhmedov. This is a weird one, right? Because obviously you see Russian, you think, right, he's winning straight off the bat.
He's a dangerous dude straight away.
But Magomedov has only fought, I don't know, it's weird. He's only fought once since December 2017, and that was in March. Okay, beat Tim Boach, fair enough. But is he still going to have a wee bit of cage rust? Is he still going to be a wee bit kind of slow?
I don't think so. I think it's always that first fight back. And he's had 6 months between his fight, basically, now. So he's probably had a couple of months off. And he went straight back into a camp for 4 months, and that's him. And I reckon he could come out here and run over the top of Zach Cummins.
I can't call this. Zach Cummins is too smart and too experienced to let somebody just run over the top of him. I think.
You look at Akhmedov. You look at his defeats he's had. Right, his last three defeats: Zaleski,
yep,
Sergio Moraes,
Gunnar Nelson. Yeah. Three of the top guys.
Look who's beat. Razak Al Hassan,
mm-hmm.
How good does that boy look? Do you know what I mean? Max Nielsen's a decent fighter. Do you know what I mean? There's names there. As you said, beat Tim Boesch already. Drew Marvin Vittori. Marvin Vittori looked really, really good.
Marvin Vittori's on a tear.
Yeah. So, I really like Russian. There's hundreds of Russians on this card for obvious reason because it's next door.
Mm-hmm.
That should be good. But then again, as you say, Zach Cummings, he's won his last couple. You look at the fighters he's lost to, Michael Pesarez, Pounds and Ebio, Gunnar Nelson. These are two good guys. That shows you how deep this card is.
It does, mate. It really does.
That's this is thing. A
it
deep, really deep card. And this is that's two good fights. Straight off the bat. Then you get straight in it and you get Nordin Taleb versus Muslim Salikov.
Do you want to know an interesting fact about Muslim Salikov?
What?
He's the 199 kickboxing fights.
A what? Why would you not make that 200?
185 wins.
Why would you not make that 200?
I don't know. That's a weird one as well. Like, he's got 12 wins by knockouts of his 15 wins, right? And obviously, Nordin Taleb's a, you know, a very, very...
he's had a few fights in the UFC. UFC fighter, no?
He said, like, 10, mate.
Huh?
Ridiculous. Like, that's a different one that he caught as well, because you just don't know, like... It's difficult to go...
That's what you want, but that shows you how good the matchmakers are.
The next fight's even worse.
Oh, aye, 15-3, 15-2, Bilal Muhammad versus Takeshi Shato. Pack it.
Can't. I love Bilal Muhammad. He follows us on Instagram, and I love him for it, because he's like one of the only real fighters that follows us.
There's a few. Matt Matreon's one. He actually commented on a few of our posts, by the way.
Matt Matreon, amazing. But I love Bilal Muhammad. He likes some stuff, but Takeshi's, they're just so well matched. It's going to be tremendous.
This is only Sato's second fight in UFC, so yep. Imagine maybe...
But he didn't look out of place.
No, he didn't look out of place for
when
a
when he fought last thing.
Bill Malamon's got that bit more experience and stuff like that. He's again, he's two defeats.
Yeah.
Jeff Neal.
And Fazeni Lucky.
Alan Juban. Do you know what I mean? Three very good fighters.
Yeah.
So, this is another cracking fight.
The fights are ridiculous, mate. The fights on this card are ridiculous. Even in, I said to you before we started tonight, I was looking at the main card, and there's literally four of the five fights on the main card that I think could go either way. I think there's a couple that maybe swing slightly edging the other way. In fact, no, all of it, all five on the main card, I think you could see reasons for them swinging each way.
You could easily see that.
Do you know what I mean? There are a couple that are maybe slightly more one side than the others, but it's mental, mate. Even, like, you were going to talk about, well, I've got an interesting fact about Ottman Azatir, right? This guy's 11-0.
You love a fact, don't you?
I do, mate. I like getting into the nitty-gritty of it, man. I do. He's fighting... This is his promotional debut. He's fighting Teemu Pakkilin, who I didn't realise, right? Teemu Pakkilin's had three fights in the UFC. I didn't realise this.
To be fair,
one of them was in 2015, one was in 2016, one was in 2017. This boy hasn't fought since March 2017, so no offence. I think Ottman Azatir is going to roll over the top of him.
Well, this was...
Here comes my interesting fact, right?
Cool, you're going to blow the fact that I'm going to pick him as my fighter.
No. You can have that later. You've just ruined that for yourself. His last fight, right?
Uh-huh.
He fought Daniel Cocora at Brave
uh-huh.
in August last year
uh-huh.
at welterweight.
Uh-huh.
He weighed in at 160 pounds. Other interesting fact about that fight, so did his opponent. They both weighed in at 160 and a half pounds. For a 170 pound limit.
I need to find out why.
Yeah. I couldn't quite figure it out. I looked at it and then I thought maybe there's something about the welterweight limit with them isn't 170, it's 160 or something like that, or if they've got different weight classes.
Part of the reason might be.
What?
He's 5'7".
Yeah.
He's a dwarf.
Yeah. 5'7" and he fights a lightweight.
He's tiny.
Oh, he's not very big. He must be absolute. You know what he's going to be like? Trotter. Mitchell Prazeres.
Aye, if he's fighting at welterweight and he's 5'7", he's going to be as wide as he is tall.
Yeah. Anyway, that was my interesting fact. I thought it was quite interesting that he'd fought at 170, but he actually weighed in at 160. I thought that was a bit bizarre.
And his nickname, the Bulldozer, I think tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah. Right, there's so much on this card. We literally don't have time to go through all of this. We literally don't have time.
Just one quick mention. Prelim one, well, we've got Lerone Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
English boy.
Mm-hmm.
8-0.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of him. Mate, I'm sorry, I have never heard of you.
Celtic Gladiator. Full contact contender.
Mate,
I've heard of the Evolution of Combat.
I've heard of the Evolution of Combat. You're a champion. You won your fight in May for the Featherweight Championship and full contact contender. But I have never heard of you. But you've got a decent record. So this is why you've been picked up. And I can't actually wait to watch this kid. I don't know why.
It's weird that it's just you've never heard him. It's so bizarre.
Never. Like, usually you hear of most British fighters. Doesn't matter what level they're fighting. You go, oh, I know him. I've heard good things about him. Never heard of this good in my life.
Did you know this was the UFC's third visit to Abu Dhabi?
Yes.
I did not know that. I presume this was a debut. Sorry. No, I never gave it all its names. Oh, it's only got one name. Never mind.
Take it back.
I mean, obviously, we've got to talk about JoJo. Another massive fight for her after she get robbed by the
judges. I feel sorry for that she's got to have this fight.
I know, because this is a bad fight for her, I think.
Andrea Lee's dangerous.
Aye, dangerous, man. I think she's definitely going to be a contender, but see if Jojo gets through this, man. I think she should fight Shevchenko before Chikagin does. If anybody listened to this a couple of weeks ago, we basically said, go and look at the stats of Chikagin's last three wins and come back to us and tell us if she won those three fights. And, like, you can't because it's just ridiculous. She's actually booked to fight
Jennifer Maia.
The winner of that will face, I'd imagine, would face.
I would like if the UFC were fair and basically whoever wins these two fights maybe faced off against each other.
But who else fights Shevchenko in the meantime?
You don't maybe have to.
Shevchenko won't sit. She just wants to fight, mate. She just wants to start smashing people. Chikagian's next. The winner of Chikagian Maia will fight Valentina Shevchenko.
Chikagian Maia is not until December. Is that not DC in December?
Maybe, aye.
So that's ages away.
So maybe the winner of this fight, so then?
Maybe. Because you've got Andrea Lee's record, 11-2, do you know what I mean? That's a brilliant record.
I know. But come on, Jojo, we know you can do it, and I know you can do it. We'll support you no matter what.
Jojo.
Main card. I mean, where do you even start? My Berek Taisimov versus Diego Ferreira. Again, looked at this, can't call it. There's just no way. Taisimov has got 32 fights and at the age of 31, is ridiculous. He's on a 6-fight win streak, which dates back away to 2014. He's had a lot of cancelled fights. Was supposed to fight Benel Darush, that cancelled. Evan Dunham cancelled. Nick Lentz, Joaquim Silva. I mean, I don't know. could be the fact that it looks like
they're all hum.
They're all hum, are they?
I missed them a hub.
Shoulder injury.
Few visa issues.
Aye, visa issues. Doesn't ask a couple of them don't have. Aye, so he's obviously had. I should know Darius get injured against him before him, but against some good wins. Alan Patrick, Hadzovic, Felipe Silva, Des Green. These are good wins.
Alan Patrick, aye.
Diego Ferreira's a tough fight for him. Again, another fight I just can't call me. I looked at him a day and I just.
Another fight I'm going to follow to watch.
Oh, 100%. I love Diego Ferreira. He's brilliant to watch. Again, he had a cancelled bout in May against Ronaldo. He's another one that's been beat by Dustin Poirier. Just of interest.
Basically,
Dustin Poirier's beating everybody on this card, it looks like.
I think he's beating everybody to be honest.
Curtis Blaydes, Shamil Abdurakhimov.
Another brilliant fight.
Blaydes probably should beat Shamil. This is one of the ones I was talking about, maybe slightly edges towards.
Yeah, winning. I would agree so.
But then after Abdurakhimov's performance last time,
he was really good against Tybura.
He was really good against Sherman. He was really good against Arlovsky. And he was really good against Tybura. So it's a dangerous one. He's also beaten Walt Harris, which is something to say now, because Walt Harris is a bit of a badass now. He's the kind of up and coming guy. I'm looking forward to this. This will be a good fight. Like, hard to call again. Probably couldn't call it. Again, same thing.
Can't wait to watch it.
I know. Makhachev versus Davy Ramos. You must be hating this shit.
Why?
They'll be rolling about like fuck.
I think this could be a stand up fight.
Think so?
Aye. I think this could be on the feet.
I'm not so convinced by that, man.
I think this could be on the feet, mate. I really do think this will be on the
feet. These are two guys who like to roll about a lot.
Yeah, but Davy Ramos doesn't use it.
Davy Ramos is a third. He did last time. We were talking about him using it last time.
Like, that was the first time he'd used it.
Islam Makhachev again, another, Sambo kind of based. And
in fact, did I not say the last time against Aston Hubbard, he was well bitten by rear naked choke to make it 4 in a row? So 3 rear naked chokes in a row.
Yeah.
His last 4 fights.
Can I just read out what rank Makhachev is? This is one of the best things I've ever heard. He is the international master of sport in combat Sambo. That sounds amazing. The international master. What's your job title? International master, mate. That sounds amazing. Amazing. Love that. Sorry, I just love things like that. That's great. Call that. Pick a winner there.
Makhachev.
Okay. Now, this fight, right? I'm almost as excited for this as I am for the main event.
I think they might need to bring in a new mat for the Octagon after this fight, because I think there could be a lot of blood in this fight.
This could be a war match.
This is
either going to be the closest, most gruesome, not gruesome, the closest, hardest decision you're ever going to see, or one of them is getting sparked out in the first minute.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say first minute.
First round then.
I think somebody could get sparked out here, but how long it'll take, I don't know. I wouldn't like to say.
I'm 100%, all my chips are in Paul Felder's camp here. To get this W back. Next time I get the L back. I think he wants it back so bad. I think he'll win.
Of course he does. I'm think desperate to get it back, man.
I think he'll win.
I don't know if he'll win, though.
No.
Yeah. Major, you've seen him, obviously, against James Vick, and he absolutely dominated James Vick, which we were all kind of surprised about, because we obviously spoke quite highly about James Vick in the past and really rate him.
Not since then.
We've kind of basically destroyed James Vick.
He's now done what he's done, what we said.
I got a little bit. Yeah. So, bye, another brilliant fight, core main event, superb. I cannot wait for this. It's going to be brilliant.
Yeah, it's going to be brilliant. It's what a main course to have before your dessert, like proper. The rest of it's all your starter, which is an amazing starter, and your main course is Edson Barboza Field, and your sticky toffee pudding is Nurmagomedov versus Barry. Can't wait, man. I'm actually so buzzing. I can't remember last time I was so buzzing, man. And it's got nothing to do with the fact that I'm a Khabib fan, because I'm about to surprise you with what I'm about to say about that fight.
Yeah, okay, I'll let you start then.
I do not understand why people are sleeping on Dustin Poirier. I do not understand. I was looking at this today and I was thinking, I've got my Khabib glasses on, Khabib's going to fucking mash him. Look at Khabib's record and tell me who Khabib's fought.
Yes, we know this.
Alvin McGregor. I love Khabib, right? I love Khabib's style, but he hasn't fought anybody in the same league as himself or anybody in the same league as McGregor.
He's not fought what you could do and go at in 10 years, 10, 15, 20 years time and go at. He was a legend of the sport.
He was 16-0, right, when he came to the UFC. Now, if you look at the records of the guys he fought before he came to the UFC, right, some of the records are ridiculous, right? So, like, the first guy, The second guy he fought ever was 0-4, right? Then there was he fought four guys who was never fought before. Then he fought a guy who was 5-5. The first person he fought with a bit of experience was 13-9. The next guy after that was 0-2. He never really fought anybody with a decent win record until he got to the UFC when he fought somebody who was 7-1. Then he fought Gleison Tibau, 26-7, somebody with proper experience. He basically was 14-0 because he basically went in the ring, they looked at him and went, nah, I'm not having that.
I'm away.
And I'm away. And that was it. Now, I'm not taking away from him. I love Khabib. I'm a massive Khabib fan. I will always love Khabib, and I really 100% will put all my chips in Khabib's corner this weekend. But people need to stop sleeping on Poirier, because if you look at Poirier's record, that is so much different. He has fought... ridiculous. He's beaten Holloway twice, Alvarez, Gaethje, Anthony Pettis. It's ridiculous, mate.
Top of this, obviously he's beaten Holloway. We were talking not that long ago about beating Holloway, but Holloway's the best pound for pound in the world.
Ever? Not ever. In the world at the moment, he's pound for pound the best in the world. And he's beat him twice. He's in a no contest against Eddie Alvarez. Obviously that was because it should probably have been not a win, but it was because Eddie Alvarez needed him when he was on the ground. I mean, beating Gaethje, is knocking Gaethje out is not...
That is one of the hardest things to do in sport.
I was going to say knocking out Alvarez is hard. It would have been hard about 10 years ago, but... look at Carlos Diego Ferreira, Yancy Medeiros, McGregor, Diego Brandão. He beat Diego Brandão, Eric Koch, Max Holloway back in the day. You know, he's fought some seriously good guys. It's ridiculous, man. And people thinking that Khabib is going to walk over the top of him need to stop. I'm a Khabib fan, as I keep saying, and I will be supporting Khabib, but I would not be remotely surprised if Poirier knocks Khabib the fuck out.
Well, I'm in Poirier's corner.
I know you would be, because you're not a massive fan of Khabib.
No, so I'm a fucking wanker, but...
I think that's harsh. Doesn't really talk much, but alright.
It's weird. See, as a person, See before the McGregor fight,
He
was alright.
Yeah.
Didn't do him any harm. Didn't like his style of fighting, but there's no harm. See, since he beat McGregor, I just feel he's turned into a bit of a bear land.
A bit of a bitch. Yeah, I get that.
Talks a lot of shite.
But then the same thing happened with Henry.
Aye, true. Khabib doesn't eat there.
No, it doesn't. This honestly could be one of the best fights you ever see. This is very two contrasted styles. Okay, everybody's been talking, AKF talked, DC's talked about Khabib striking being better and all that, and that's fine. His striking will never be on a par with Dustin Poirier's.
No, never in a million years.
Never in a million years. But this is definitely not going to be... It's weird, I was reading something on Twitter, right, Connor, it said McGregor fans unbearable, Khabib fans unbearable, Ferguson fans slightly less unbearable, but still unbearable when they keep saying Ferguson's the best lightweight in the world, Poirier, completely bearable, he's quiet, he keeps himself to himself, he's the kind of fighter I love, and see if he wasn't fighting Khabib, man, I would have a Dustin Poirier hat, t-shirt, shorts on, I would literally be sitting in your living room, covered in Poirier. I'd even have a fucking banner that says go Dustin go, right? I swear to God I would if he wasn't fighting Khabib, because I love watching Khabib. It's the style I like. I've always liked him right from the start, right? But people need to sit up and watch this fight, because this will not be
the mauling that people think it is. A lot of people
on either side
this is a very, very close fight, because this is all about if Dustin could basically stay standing.
Poirier fans think he'll knock Khabib out. Khabib fans think he'll sit on top of Poirier for 25 minutes. I don't think either is necessarily going to happen for the whole deal. I think you might see... it's funny, I said there was all these fights on this card. I can't call this. I will pick Khabib because I'm a fan. Simple as that. But if I was to take off the fan glasses like we're supposed to do when we do our predictions, I can't pick a winner on this, mate. I genuinely can't. You'll pick Poirier because you like Poirier, but could you honestly tell me, like, 100%, you're 100% convinced Poirier's going to win?
No.
That's my point. That's why this fight is so good, man. It's going to be such a good fight. I cannot wait. We'll literally only need to tell the girls to go in a different room, because if anybody makes a noise, that cat will need to get locked out the living room and all. If any noise gets made in that 25 minutes, there's going to be hell to pay, mate, I'm telling you.
I just told Joe Rogan, isn't there?
It will be. Of course it will be.
But it's an Abu Dhabi.
Pay-per-view, doesn't matter.
I don't know. I just thought we had to know. What was DC and Dominic Cruz? That would be me.
I doubt it'd be DC. DC will be in Khabib's corner.
But aye, what a card. Brilliant. Cannot wait for Saturday. Disappointing as I need to pay £20 to watch it, which is really fucking annoying. But it is.
I'll give you
it
a tenner if you want.
Give me a tenner if you want. I'm not going to complain if you're going to give me half the fare.
I'll bring you beer.
I need to do that then. That's a deal. You bring a beer and I'll
bring a beer, you buy the thing.
That's fine, we'll do that.
Sure, okay, boys. I mean,
Can't wait.
Yeah, buzzing. Now, we've got a problem there.
I've got a serious problem.
Because we're like, this is like the longest show we've ever done, and
we're still not even
done your news. So are you going to run through it quickly? And when I say quickly, you're not really going to get much response off me except yes or no.
Okay. Right. Ready?
Go for it.
I'm in.
I'm getting you a jingle, I swear to God. I'm going to get a jingle for Mark when he does his news.
Right.
Dun, 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 dun.
Right. Go Shut up. It. I'm trying to talk.
Go for it.
One Championship. They've announced their century event, which will involve two shows, one day, one arena, one city.
Please tell me the city.
Four championship fights.
Please tell me the city's Glasgow.
I fucking wish.
Okay, sorry. When you go.
So, on the 100th show of One Championship, in Tokyo, October 13th, with two full-scale World Championship events. In the morning, we'll have a live show for the Incan Odysseys. Smart as fuck. Smart as fuck. Now, on this card,
let's
quick run through this card. Angela Lee, American versus Jingyang Zhang for the strawweight title.
Yep.
Demetrius Johnson versus Danny Kincaid for the bantamweight title, isn't it? 135.
It's Fly.
Aye, Fly. Sorry, for a flyweight title. Yeah. Eddie Alvarez versus Arsene Leev for the lightweight title.
Well
Three title fights.
Well done, Eddie.
Aye, fuck knows. Three title fights on the one card. You've also got a few other fights in there. Wakumatsu's going to be on that. Japanese fighter. And a few Japanese in it, stuff like that, to make up their numbers.
I will buy the beer and the pay-per-view, if you can say that. Not a chance.
Ekaterina Vanderhaven.
You fucked her.
Shut up. Anyway, this is brilliant for one championship. Two cards, straight away, you've got to appeal to American audiences here, and that's what we're doing. This is going live on TNT in America.
Well, they've got three big American fighters on.
Massive three. Probably the three biggest.
Is she defending?
Yes, Angela's defending, yes. So, cool. Massive, okay? So, first part, that's your morning view. Back to your bed for a couple of hours. Back up later on into your evening part. So, in the same arena, same city, same arena, probably most of the same bloody referees after they've been for a bit of food. We are then having another two title fights.
What the hell's 225?
That's light heavyweight.
What?
It's like heavyweight.
Eh? Gotta get my head right
now. It's okay, like heavyweight.
Okay, so 205's middle.
No, 225's heavy. I can't remember. Anyway, pound for pound, I'll give the best fighter in one championship. Ong Le Sang is fighting, defending his title against Brandon Vera. It's going to be a brilliant fight. This is going to be superb. Somebody's going to get knocked the fuck out. I can't wait for that. Bibi Arno Fernandez is then defending his bantamweight title against Kevin Billington, which has got another fucking great fight. Five title fights one day. This is mental. This is absolutely brilliant.
I'm not massive into kickboxing, but that fight there, Giorgio Petrosyan versus Sami Sana, I want to watch that.
It's just...
Banario's fighting against Shinai Aoki as well. Cirilli
versus Arjun Bilal's debut in
Arjun
this.
Arjun Bilal's debut. Wow, man.
And a few Japs on it, Japanese fighters to make up the thing. It's just two incredible cards on one day in the same city.
Japanese fans are lucky, man. That is.
Fair play to win, by the way, because they've done this absolutely brilliantly. They've set this up superb. They're basically attacking the American audiences, and it's going to be set up superb. As I said, first morning show will be on TNT on Saturday night in America.
So that's
basically a normal time
for the USC
card.
And then Sunday morning for the other one.
Then basically you'll be getting up for your breakfast on Sunday morning and watching the nighttime card for Japan. So sensational. Fair play to One Championships. We've done that really, really well.
Keep going.
Michael Johnson versus Stevie Ray has been announced.
Stevie.
Singapore. Really tough fight. That's arguably one of his toughest fights careers, I would say, because Michael Johnson can be a very, very good fighter on his day.
225 is light heavyweight.
I did say that initially, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
So this could be a very, very tough fight. Just a wee thingy for Stevie Ray, by the way. Brilliant performance last night against Saturday night, against Barry.
Yes.
Great finish in Polaris. It was absolutely brilliant. Good to see him taking the clap in that, seriously, but that's really good to see.
It is, that's what he is, though.
I know, but he's usually striking more than anything else.
He should grapple more.
Yeah, he should grapple more.
He's good at it.
A couple of fights get announced for that. Sergey Pavlovich, who we spoke about a few times, fighting Moyes Green, had a decent fight. Cyril Gane, a big French boy who choked somebody the fuck out in his last fight. I can't remember who it is. He's fighting, I don't know who this boy is, to be honest. Don Tally Maz, I'm not sure who he is. That's for UFC Singapore in October. So, decent card so far. That's obviously the card with Damien Maia versus Ben Askren as the
buzzing
headliner. Go straight into more fight announcements. UFC card 224 from MSG.
244
MSG. Usman Kobe looks pretty much stuck on for that. It's not been officially announced, but it looks pretty much stuck on as far as I'm aware. Elvin Gastelum versus Darren Till at middleweight.
It's a shame we don't have more time with us to talk about that. But
I know. Darren Till.
We'll talk about that more close to time.
Darren Till, good to see you moving up, big man, because I think it'll do you a fucking world of good. Another great fight, Lyman Good versus Chandler Counter. We've seen how good Chandler Counter was in his fight. You know how good Lyman Good is. That's another great fight being made.
This is the best fight of the
night. This is arguably one of the best fights. Obviously, apart from Usman Kobe, this is one of the best fights. Joseph Christoph Yoko versus Edmund Shabazian. That has got fucking bombs written all over it.
It's got war written all over
that it. That has got absolutely tremendous. So that card looks superb so far. The wee thing, quickly mention it. Paige VanZant is obviously talking a lot this week, basically saying she's making more money for Instagram. She is actually fine at this moment, which is shite. But fair player, she needs to earn her money.
It's a deal she signed.
Of course it does. She signed a deal, I think, a long time ago when it was...
Yeah, it was way back in the year. She said it was with...
Not the original owners.
Leonard, no.
Just like owners like 10 years ago, basically. Yeah. She's still fine after that same deal. Yeah. So that has to change for her because she's a massive star. She's maybe not ability-wise up there yet, but she's a massive star for UFC. Everybody knows who Paige VanZant is.
Yeah, of course
she does. So she basically needs to earn her... She needs to get more money, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Wee bit of news for us, UFC Copenhagen. Obviously, it's a few weeks away now. We're absolutely buzzing up our tits for it. Jack Shore got announced, and that's made it even better. We said this for months. It was going to get announced.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of time until it happened. Obviously, we'll be looking for an opponent from fair play to Nolan Hernandez because he's about to get his ass fucking handed to him on a plate.
Let's wait and see.
Hopefully. I don't know if anyone's seen this pseudo video. Fucking reading a bedtime story at his belts. He's a fucking bobby, by the way. But I would like to see the fight. Cejudo versus Dominic Cruz. But I seen Dominic Cruz came out, was it Sunday maybe? Can't remember what day it was, and basically said, look, me man, you're not in my fucking league, just gonna fuck off.
But then again, I understand what DC's saying there, Dominic Cruz is saying there.
Aye.
But no disrespect, Dominic Cruz.
Go and prove it.
But Henry Cejudo holds the belt in your weight class. Are you saying that he's not in his league? It's a bit of a paradox, a bit like a contradiction. You know?
I love Dominic Cruz, but see, sometimes I just obviously picks up a lot on injuries, but at the same time, I think he doesn't take fights that he should take.
Yeah, I agree.
He's a weird one. He's a very, very much a weird one. Where are we next? Go straight into BJ Penn. I watched these two fights, by the way. The best thing about it was him getting knocked the fuck out.
I honestly don't care.
I know, but it's just... BJ Penn has to fucking...
Stop
in a bell end.
Has he done his last fight yet?
No, he's apparently... he's done his last fight in the UFC, but I think he'll continue fighting himself, probably.
Yeah, okay.
But basically, my headline on this is BJ Penn is a bell end. Tells you everyone I know. Gregor Gillespie has called out Anthony Pettis for MSG, and that just makes that card fucking sensational.
Wait, say that again.
Gregor Gillespie called out Anthony Pettis.
Anthony Pettis is fighting a weight class above Gregor Gillespie now. Why would he call out Anthony Pettis?
He also just wants to fight Anthony Pettis. And yeah. To be honest, I don't give a fuck, because I like to see him. Now, we've spoke about, I think, a couple of weeks back regarding the weight differentials.
Yeah.
And how much weight certain fighters put on after their fights. So the California State Athletic Commission basically recommended that Paulo Costa, Amanda Nunes, Brandon Davis, Kyung Ho Kang, Sabina Matsuo and Sadiq Yusuf all move up a weight because basically they put too much weight on after the weigh-ins.
So you're basically only allowed to put on 10% of the weight you weighed in at. So say you weigh in 130 kilograms, just for talking sake, right? You can only put on an extra 13 kilograms. That is how it works. You weigh in at 200 pounds, you can only put on an extra 20 pounds. That idea. And there was more than 50% of the fighters that fought on that card that
night. Costa put something like 30 pounds on.
It was 17%
his body weight. It was ridiculous,
in a day, 36 hours or something, a day and a half. It's crazy, man.
So basically, for these fighters to fight in California again, they've got to prove to the State Athletic Commission that they can do it in a safe way to fight it that way again. So if Paulo Costa ever fights again in, say, LA, he's got to be able to prove that he can do that safely and get down to 185.
There's an easy way around that.
What?
Don't fight in LA.
There is. That's
don't fight California.
That's probably what happened with a few of these fighters. Like, this man ever made this Paulo Costa.
They just need to change the rules, man. They just need to go to one championship.
It's the best way to do it. Cage Warriors, just a quick thing, obviously, Cage Warriors, brilliant promotion, we talk about it constantly, I love Cage Warriors. They're going back to Ireland this year, and it's going to be, they're going back to Cork, which is so random, but this is Graham Boylan's hometown.
It's like it coming to Scotland and going to Aberdeen, it's weird.
But it's Graham Boylan's hometown.
Yeah, no, I get it, that's number for it, it'd be good, I want to go, but it's not going to happen, so.
No, it's November, so it's a fucking pain in the ass, it's not happening. I think was it November? I can't remember when it was. But anyway, first event was 2011 there. So again, I think the last time they fought in Cork was quite a lot of kind of local Irish fighters who have now got to that level that's just their higher level. So you can maybe see a few fighters on this who you're going to see in the future. And the last thing, if you want a laugh and you want to finish and you want a bit of a bubble, go watch Del Rio and Tito Ortiz's promotion. It was fucking horrific.
What actually happened?
Basically, two of them were standing in the middle of a cage. Basically, Del Rio talked a lot of trash. Tito Ortiz nicely got the microphone off them, talked a lot of trash. Nicely gave it back to Del Rio, who talked a lot of shite, then gave him it back to me, so he could talk a lot of shite. It was just so much shite.
Who's promoting this?
It's Combatas Americas, is that what it is?
Okay.
But it was a lot of pish. It was embarrassing, to be honest. And the aggro there is non-existent, looking at that, so.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, mate, well done. Congratulations.
I didn't even know what my news on. Look at time.
Well, sure, we'll keep something for next week. Listen, guys, thanks for listening, as always. A long show tonight. Buzzing for the weekend. Cannot wait. Get us on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at NCKGMMA. Give us a like, give us a share, give us a follow, all the usual stuff. Enjoy the fight of the weekend, and we will catch you next week.